Hello, I'm Liz Bobo, and this is Reflections on Life. As I've said on prior reflections, when I left public office after 35 years, I was determined that I was going to have a very unstructured life. I didn't want to be on boards or commissions. I didn't want to have to go to any particular place at any particular time on any particular day of the week. And after about 6 months of that, it was fun, and I felt myself just kind of spinning around and lost. I felt like I had no direction at all, and I still did not want to go on boards and commissions. So I came up with the idea of setting up an outline that I look at every day and change every month. And it's entitled Reflections on Life. Absolutely everything is connected. And it covers six topics: reflections on home in Columbia, reflections on Zach, that's my grandson, reflections on Baltimore, my hometown, reflections on public policy, reflections on our planet beyond the United States, and reflections on our universe. So quickly, I'll run through for this month each one of those six topics. Reflections on home in Columbia. We have a large pond out beyond our home, which I write about frequently, and it is now surrounded with a very, very healthy crop of milkweed. And so my husband and I are very hopeful that we may contribute some sort of assistance to slow down the dwindling population of monarch butterflies this year. And we will see. We will see. They have decreased tremendously in the last 5 years. Reflections on Zach. Zachary has been not alive on this earth for 5 years now. And there was a celebration at the Xfinity Center at College Park in his name two weekends ago, where people came out to talk about him and to pay to contribute to the Zacking Foundation, which Zach created. And it goes to providing help for poor kids who have brain cancer. And it's doing very well and receiving grants from his parents are up in Boston right now receiving a grant. It keeps his work alive. Reflections on Baltimore, my hometown. You know from my prior reflections how much I love Baltimore. I love Baltimore. And the last, I don't know how many numbers to put on the years, but the last 5 to 10 years have been absolutely tragic. So hopefully now, with a new mayor and with an exposure of what has gone on at the University of Maryland Medical System and an apparent strong determination to see that that doesn't happen again, hopefully Baltimore will be able to get back on its feet from the perspective of a government that can be respected and start addressing the many issues that need to be addressed in that great city. Reflections on public policy. The New Yorker is one of a couple magazines that I read every edition. And in the edition last week, there was a full-page piece of art, full-page painting, that hurt me, grabbed at my heartstrings as much as anything I've ever seen. And it was entitled Mother's Day. And it was a picture of a big iron fence with vertical poles, big, strong fence. And standing at the bottom of it, taking up about one-tenth of the page, was little Latino boy. And he had a card in his hand that he was holding behind his back as he looked through these bars. And the card said, Happy Mother's Day. So with the awareness that he was never able to deliver it. So we simply have to do better on taking care of those kids. Reflections on our planet beyond the United States. Lloyd and I were fortunate enough to travel in Morocco for 3 weeks last month. And when we came back, we spent a little bit of time in Portugal, rented a car, and I have a photograph of Lloyd standing at the dock of the where his boat pulled up to Portugal. 65 years ago, and he's standing there on that dock exactly where his Navy ship pulled in at that time. It was something, a photograph I'll keep forever. And reflections on our universe. the Applied Physics Lab, which is here in Howard County, a very notable institution, is making a fair amount of advances in learning more about just what the black hole really is. And we're so grateful to have that great institution here in our community. So, having gone through those reflections, I want to introduce you. I have two guests here today, not just one, Mike Clark and Truth Thomas. I've known Mike for a long, long time. He was a newspaper reporter for the Baltimore Sun when I was in public office. And all of us in public office knew that don't fool around with Mike. If he asks you a question, you better have some kind of an answer. Don't try to fake your way through an answer with Mike Clark, because he was on top of just about everything. And he had very, very good grasp of public policy himself. My other guest host here today is Truth Thomas, someone who I've met in the last 2 years. And I've met him as a member of the board known as the Little Patuxent Review. For the what was on the screen before this interview started shows the cover of the first edition of the Little Patuxent Review and then one of the latest editions. And getting to know Truth, who is a poet himself and a teacher, has been not only a joy for me, but he's someone, and not but, he is someone who I know I can learn a lot from. So welcome to the two of you. And I'd like to start with the same question for both of you. What is your role on the LPR board, and what are your hopes for what LPR can accomplish, and what impact would you like to see it have on our community in the near future?
Well, I was Mike Clark. I was a publisher of the Little Patuxent Review, revitalization, you want to call it, for the first 10 years. And now I'm a member of the board, and I'm publisher emeritus. Before that, in the late 70s, Ralph and Margot Tritel started a Little Patuxent Review, and we wanted to carry that on, and they put out several issues, carry on what they had started, I think it was in 1997. That was our first issue. But in any event, we're in our 13th year, which is pretty incredible. We are published twice a year. We're really well-placed because we're between Baltimore and Washington, so we provide a lot of coverage for writers and artists within the region, as well as even nationally. We've had people fly in from California to do their readings. We have a launch of our issue. Our next one is June 2nd at 2 o'clock at the Oliver's Carriage House, which is on Leaf Treader Way. And we usually have nearly 100 folks show up for that. Those readings. So that way, those are the people who have contributed to that current issue, and they're reading their pieces to the rest of us. We also have an online presence. One of the things that I'm involved in is a salon series, which has gone on for 10 years, which is an offshoot of LPR, our Little Patuxent Review. And that has been brings in artists, writers, even scientists, to talk about things that create those of us in our community should want to know. And we have nice little turnouts for those events. And that's with the Columbia Arts Center, and that's where it's held, in Long Reach Village Center. That's pretty much what I've been doing at this point. And so I'm a member of the board, and I try to contribute where I can.
Thanks, Mike. You contribute a lot, I can tell you that. So, Truth,
yes.
What's your role on the LPR board, and what is the nature of this upcoming launch that Mike gave us the time and place for?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having us.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Chris. What's my man with the Avenger shirt?
Brendan,
all the engineers and the people who helped to make this possible. I love Mike. One of the reasons that I became involved with the journal is because I love the quality of the work. I guest edited LPR 2012 for a social justice issue and then was out. I'm a poet, I'm a publisher, Cherry Castle Publishing, and I was in the neighborhood for a while. And then about 2 years ago, the young lady who does the layouts for our books, Deb Doolin, invited me to join the board. And what she told me was it would be good to have somebody who was black on the board.
Really?
Yeah, because at that time, as I don't remember if there were any black folks. There's one person of color.
It was before Willie, who
right.
we have
so
now, yeah.
It was, I think,
Sabina Taj.
Sabina Taj was there. So I'm there to add that perspective and also...
Really?
And Willie, what's Willie? Flowers.
Willie Flowers.
Yeah, brother from
Truth Thomas and Willie Flowers.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, really. What could you have better names for being on a poetry and literature board?
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we're there to hopefully move the journal in the direction of being more in touch with what's happening in the community with regard to all people. You'd mentioned. Really talking about the injustice, the great injustice that's going on as it pertains to immigration and how Latinos are being demonized in America right now. It's important to mention that. It's important to tell those stories and name those wrongs. Right? So I think for me personally, it's important for me to be on the board to always remind the people who I love, who are also on the board, that art for art its sake is not enough. It's wonderful to have quality in art, but we're not removed from suffering around us, and it's kind of odd not to mention it if we're here. So I think that's one of the major reasons that I'm on the board.
Good. It's good to hear. I think I've heard both of you talk about what I'm about to say in the past. I know I have with you, Mike, and I think so with Truth, that... quality literature, quality poetry, has a deep impact on our world and on us living in our world, whether we realize it or not, and how important it is that we have quality literature and poetry. So how do you think Little Patuxent Review is doing in that regard?
Well, I think since Desiree Magny has replaced me, I think we've improved, quite frankly. And Steve Levy, who's a professor at University of Baltimore, is our editor. And, of course, Brian England is president of the board. I think that it's definitely improved in terms of its quality publication. So that really was sort of one of our goals. And, of course, in the current issue is LGBTQ. Writers and artists are displayed and given a major focus on that issue. So I think we're reaching out to the community to make sure that we really are truly inclusive, is what following up on what Truth said.
I think we've grown in that regard. It's a quality journal, and in the upcoming summer launch on the 2nd, we have an interview with. Phenomenal poet Tim Siebels that I think Susan Thornton Hobby was engaged with, and also a brilliant interview with Michael Salkman of a visual artist from Iran. I think it's Taha. So I have the piece of paper here. I'm not going to pretend that I just can pronounce the name.
Taha.
Yeah, I was just going to say Taha. Heydari, yes, just rolled off the tongue. Yeah, and Michael interviewed him, and it's wonderful.
Michael Salzman. Yeah.
Salkman, yes. Brain surgeon and poet.
Brain surgeon and poet? For real?
Yeah, he doesn't work hard at all. You know?
Wow.
Yeah. But so we have that. Some the winners of the Enoch Pratt Poetry Award, I think Jolene, get the name right, Harris. A phenomenal poem, was it? Phyllis Wheatley Questions the Quarter. Amazing work. But there's fiction that's just sparkling. The quality of the work is is wonderful. The quality of the publication is just very, very well done, and it's an honor to be a part of it.
I agree. I feel the same way about it. You mentioned Enoch Pratt Library. That was my library when I was a little girl in Edmondson Village. And then when I went to high school in Baltimore and took the bus into Baltimore and out Charles Street, I used to go to the main Enoch Pratt Library in downtown Baltimore, which had a huge impact on me, being in that, you know, massive building and with all those books. So you know, I haven't thought about the Enoch Pratt Library for a little bit. So I'm glad that you mentioned it. So what are your hopes for the growth of the journal? Do you think we're doing well with that, or and do you think growth is a good goal to have?
Yes.
Well, I think the idea is to become and eventually move to where we become nationally known. A number of our folks that have appeared in our journal have won national literary awards. It really is a major goal, I think, to grow to the point where we become a truly established a literary art magazine. And I think we're moving in that direction.
Yeah, I agree. Again, that's one of the things I think I'm trying to do on the board, is move us more in that direction, because I'm a publisher and I have some experience with marketing and growing in that direction. You mentioned you read The New Yorker religiously. Mm-hmm. It would be wonderful to hear someone say, you know, I read a Little Patuxent Review.
Yes. Yes.
As soon as the issue comes out, you know. So we want to get there. And on that note, let me just mention our social media extension. So you can find Little Patuxent Review on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And you can go to our website and either buy one issue, I think it's $12, is it not, or a subscription for, I think, two issues a year for $24. There are a lot of options there to get in touch with the wonderful art that we're doing, we're producing. And again, the launch that's coming up on June 2nd at Oliver's Carriage House is from 2 to 4, and it's always a wonderful event. You talked about the library. Pratt Library. It makes you feel like you're in a place where something's going to happen good.
The structure where the launches are held is a magnificent building, one of the old barns of the property that Rouse built up for Columbia, and also the building where he attended church for many years, and then his wife later continued to attend church there until she died. It's just a magnificent space for poetry and feeling connected to the universe is the way I feel when I am in that
building.
It's
a great space.
So we're very fortunate to have it. So what do we have in mind for, what are the major projects that LPR needs to be working on now?
Well, I think I want to mention a couple of things. We work with Howard Community College.
Yep.
With a Blackbird poetry festival they have, we've given workshops there, and we're working. We may increase our role and relationship with them in the future. Also at the Writers Center in Bethesda, we have a reading over there once a year, and that's a place where our publisher, Desiree Magny, also gives workshops in writing. But Desiree's background is interesting. She's an attorney, and she's also a published writer. So we're very blessed to have her leadership as publisher. Those are a couple of the projects that we are working on and expanding our role in the community.
Yeah. I think especially in the context of growth, expanding our presence is one of the most important goals to move in the direction of. Talk about the future of the journal, being more in touch with the community, having other places to read, which is not a knock on the places that the journal is currently very much a fixture in, but reading in other places where other groups of people can become aware of the journal, I think would be a helpful thing.
I've been very pleased, and I'd be surprised if you two don't agree with me, that we've had Willie Flowers, who I mentioned, and just as another name that's like, I think it couples so well with the name Truth Thomas.
Well, thank you.
But Willie is the president of the Howard County NAACP now, and he's a very strong leader. He has big plans for the growth of the NAACP, and I think to have that connection with LPR in the context of your talking about growing our readership is a really good one. They had their annual meeting over their annual banquet last weekend, and Willie's just doing a great job of growing that organization and getting them to think beyond public policy. Of course, public policy is crucial to the NAACP and a lot of other social justice organizations, but to think also in terms of their quality of life and how they're contributing to the quality of life, including the spiritual quality of life, which I think we have given short shrift to, I think, in our culture for some time.
We're connected. Often people in literature and in academia, this is just an observation, fairly disconnected from just everyday folks. And we are connected, and it's important to acknowledge that, I think, which speaks to the point about journals talking about what people who may not read in New York are going through, you know, and addressing those issues, addressing what's going on regionally, what people are suffering and struggling is important, yes, spiritually, because we are all here, connected spiritually, physically, and anytime you can bridge to that, you can make a difference, I think, in the world to make this a better place, which I think is hopefully what art does. You talked about the power of art, and the journal, I think, makes people better. It lifts them up. It's something you experience when you go into an art museum and you see art. It has an impact on you. You don't have to understand everything, but you feel it. And I think that the Little Patuxent Review has that impact on people. And I pray that it has more of an impact along those lines as it continues to grow.
That's a good point. I see it the same way. For me, the Little Patuxent Review and other publications, other poems, other good fiction writers can bring me back to what I hope is my true self when I feel so helpless in the face of what is going on in our country and in the world. And I think we might be getting a little too philosophical or too spiritual. I hope not preachy. That's not what I intend here. But I think the one thing that each one of us can do to contribute to peace in our time is to live as peaceful a life as we possibly can ourselves. And reading the Little Patuxent Review definitely has that impact on me. And sitting around that table at the board meetings has been a really good experience for me. I won't run through the names of all the board members, but to a one, they are very devoted to the board, I believe. I don't think it's just another thing. I don't think any one of them has thought of this is something that can go on my resume. I don't think that's it at all. I think it's people are on that board out of love.
Yeah.
And out of love for our community, out of love for humankind, out of love for that kid in the New Yorker magazine who had made this beautiful Mother's Day card for his mother and had no way to get it through that big iron fence to her. So I think we're really And I think literature and poetry in general does this, but I think the Little Patuxent Review, for me, operates at the level of the soul.
And I agree.
That really means a lot for me. Truth handed me the names of the people who were on the board, and so I've already mentioned Willie Flowers. Phyllis Greenbaum has worked on this for such a long time. Mike mentioned Desiree. And George Clack, who we're sitting in the community college building, who is becoming legendary from my friends who I know who have taken his course for the literature courses that he offers here. And he is a very active and strong member of the board. So if it were up to you, what else would you like to tell people about the Little Patuxent Review or ask them?
Well, I think the most important thing is that we are, of course, a forum for mostly, but not always, young writers and artists. We also have some senior our folks who contribute. But we provide a sense of community for the arts and writers, and I think that's really important. I think the most important thing for the for writers who works in a solitary basis and artists in solitary confinement in some ways, that being together and coming together at these launches and online gives us a sense of collegiality that's really important. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other aspect I think that we do provide.
Okay.
Yeah. I would encourage writers of color to submit to the journal. I think it's important for writers of color to know that the journal welcomes the authentic stories, poetry, fiction of all people. I think that's something that needs to be said.
I do too, and thank you for saying it. In the 2+ years that I've been on the board, there haven't been a lot of surprises. It does what I thought it did. Its goals are what I thought they were. The board operates pretty much the way I would have expected, but there was one big, big surprise to me, and that was how many submissions come in for each one of the publications twice a year. And so how many? Do you guys, how many hundreds came in the last time?
I did a little review just because I thought that might come up, and sometimes we have as many as 500.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it is.
500 applicants.
And that means we have our editors. You know, we have a Stephen as our overall editor. We have a fiction editor, a nonfiction editor. We have a design editor, and as well as a person who writes grants for us. So we have a fairly decent staff, but we also have readers. And in order for, let's say, a poem comes in, and it goes through a series of readers who decide, and so the process is a really inclusive one, so that there has to be two or three of our readers who say, oh yeah, this is really a good piece, before we even consider putting it in the journal. And about 15% of those folks who submit actually appear in the journal. So there is a sense there that we really make an effort to try to get the very best of their submissions into the journal.
Yes. I think it also is indicative of the fact that the journal is growing in popularity, that writers recognize it doesn't take 8 years for them to get a response when they submit a poem, mm-hmm. that their work is read, and if it's great, it's accepted, and it's published in a very quality way. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've enjoyed talking with you two guys a lot. I love serving on the board with you. And to our listeners, come and join us at the next launch at the Kittamakundi community on
June 2nd.
June 2nd.
2 o'clock.
To 4.
Yes. And
bring friends. Bring anybody you want to bring who loves poetry.
To a beautiful setting.
Yeah.
And so we can all feed and bring more peace to our minds and souls. So, this has been Reflections on Life.
Connect with us We are Dragon Digital Radio.